Welcome in, San Diego. It's Jade Hindman. On this episode of KPBS Midday Edition, after 286 days at sea, sailors aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln finally get relief, making their first port call in Thailand. We've got the latest. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. The USS Abraham Lincoln docked in Thailand Wednesday local time, marking its first port call during a grueling 9-month deployment. For the crew of nearly 5,000 sailors and Marines, this is their first big moment of respite after reports of poor conditions, supply shortages, and deteriorating mental health aboard the ship. I'm joined now by KPBS military and veteran affairs reporter Andrew Dyer. Andrew, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here. So this is the first port call. A couple of other stops before then. Why have these stops been so limited?
As far as I know, it's because those were kind of logistic stops. They stopped in Guam, like in December. There's a Navy base in Guam. That was a one-day thing where sailors could get off and limited to the base. They could go to anywhere on the base, but that's just one day. That's not a Liberty port. The other stop, I think, was at another supply base somewhere where they weren't able to leave even the pier. So, when you're deployed on a ship, you work 7 days a week. You either work shifts or you work 12-hour. You can have 12-hour shifts or sometimes watch standards have different schedules, but you work 7 days a week. And so these 5 days there in Thailand are their literally their first days off in 9 months.
Wow. And this is also the first Liberty port the Lincoln has stopped at in its 9 months. What does that mean?
So Liberty ports, I mean, this is a big reason why people choose to join the Navy over the Army or the Air Force, because when you go on a deployment, Navy ships traditionally will hit multiple Liberty ports. When you go to the Westpac, which is where San Diego carriers normally deploy, you know, you can kind of count on hitting Hong Kong, Singapore, Thailand. If you're lucky, Sydney, Australia, or if you're really lucky, Perth, Australia. But that's kind of what you expect. A Liberty port is just, usually it's 4 days, 4 or 5 days. One of those days you'll normally have to work a duty day, but every other day it's basically like a weekend. You're free to come and go as you want to. So it's obviously for at the end of a long chunk of time at sea, this is huge.
So what are sailors allowed to do in their free time?
Well, so before you hit a port, there'll be a port brief on the ship's closed circuit TV system. The commanding officer, maybe the CAG, will come on there and they'll tell you about the exchange rate, tell you how the taxi cabs work, tell you where you're allowed to go, where you're not allowed to go. There'll be a security aspect to the brief where they'll tell you, you know, like NCIS, and there'll be like a team that goes to the port ahead of the ship, and they'll kind of get a report from, you know, NCIS and whoever else about threats and whatever else. And so that'll all be baked into the brief as well. So, that's they'll be well kind of informed before hitting shore.
So it's not like they can get off the boat and then maybe go and travel somewhere else necessarily.
Yeah, you know, normally, no. Bangkok isn't that far from Pattaya. So theoretically, you could hop a train. I don't know if that's exactly authorized, though, but if you're willing to risk it, you know, you can do a lot. Yeah, it's a day off.
Can loved ones meet them over there? Family?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, the only time I was in Pattaya, this is like 2005, 2006, I was stationed in Japan, which is a lot closer. And, my wife came out and I took leave and we just got stayed at one of the resorts down there. And it was great. Being able to see one another.
Yeah. This stop comes amid reports of unsanitary conditions, water contamination, food shortages, and mental health challenges among the crew. What have you heard about current conditions on the ship?
I've heard what everybody else has heard, just that, you know, it's a it's been a tough going, a tough last few months. We've learned a lot about why some of these shortages occurred from reporting in the New York Times and elsewhere about the supply base in Bahrain being damaged so badly that it was unusable. This is what kept the ship in stock with basic toiletries and food and fresh fruit and vegetables when you're deployed in Fifth Fleet. So they've been having to truck everything from Diego Garcia, which is a tiny island thousands of miles away. So that changed the whole ability of the Navy to operate in that Central Command Fifth Fleet area, which they've said they've got it figured out now. Mm-hmm. But it's been rough on the ship and its crew. And you know, I tend not to read too much into photos of ships in the midst of deployments. But if you see photos of the Lincoln in Thailand, there is a ring of rust around the waterline of the hull. You know, this is kind of normal for a mm-hmm. ship operating at sea. You know, rust happens. And especially in the Central Command, where it's very hot and humid and, you know, it's not the best conditions for all of the metal parts on the ship, yeah. nor the aircraft.
So will they do some upkeep on that ship while sailors are off?
Very limited. You're limited in what you can do in that short amount of time. You know, maybe the duty section sailors will strip and wax some floors. Maybe they'll paint a few bulkheads. But as far as like significant repairs, which the ship is any ship would need after deployment, that's going to have to wait until they get back and they can get into what the Navy calls an availability, which is a long period of time at the pier.
All right. You know, Pattaya has historically been a stop for U.S. troops. As you mentioned, you've actually been there. What can you tell us about the city and its reputation among American sailors? And if there's any tension there between people who live in Pattaya and call Pattaya home and sailors at all?
Well, you know, this is part of the economic engine. You know, Pattaya is a resort town on the beach. It's for tourists. It is an adult playground. So, you know, the costs are very low relative to a lot of Western countries. Your dollar goes a long way in Thai baht. So you can live rather well comparatively there. And yeah, whatever you want, you can do. You can go ride elephants. You can go jet skiing. You can go parasailing. That's what I did. So
okay.
I don't know what else. I'm sure there's a lot of other things to do, but it's very sailors love the port. Going to Thailand is always a highlight of a deployment. There's something for everyone, and the relationship with the community is good. You know, they rely on these periodic ships stops from Navy ships for part of their economy. So it's very normal for a Navy ship, several Navy ships, to dock in this port or the other big one is Phuket during any deployment. So multiple times a year, there'll be a ship there. They're very used to it.
Well, Navy officials and local authorities say they have set limits on what sailors can do for this shore leave. According to the Thai government, troops will not be allowed to enter the red light district, but can go on walking streets. And is that like typical for a port call like this?
Yes, you'll always have off-limit areas in any port. And those off-limit areas will often be red light districts, maybe certain bars, and in Pattaya, there's a street called Walking Street, mm-hmm. and that's kind of like the main drag of a lot of stuff to do there. So everybody kind of is at Walking Street at one point or another during the port call. But yeah, that's standard off limits areas. How strongly it's enforced, I don't know. I'm not there. I'm pretty skeptical that they're going to be able to stop folks from, you know, like it or not, the sex tourism and sex industry in that part of Thailand is a big part of the draw for a lot of the tourists maybe. And I think it's going to be challenging to keep people away from that aspect of the port.
And there's, I'm sure, a dark side of that and victims in all of that, and probably something that does, in fact, create a lot of tension between people who call Pattaya home and sailors who are coming in off, you know, a very long deployment. Listen, zooming out, what does this mean for the Lincoln and the significance of this deployment amid the ongoing U.S.-Iran war?
Well, it's kind of, you know, the fact that this ship was out there for so long with no idea when they're going to come home, not even hitting ports. It's kind of a, I don't know, maybe it's a metaphor for the Iran war as a whole, where, you know, we kind of launched this thing. The goals kept changing. We've heard so many times that Iran has been destroyed. The country's been destroyed. Its regime is destroyed. Its ability to fight is gone. Things that are clearly not true. And there's no end in sight. And there's no, you know, what is the condition to end the war? That question has never been answered. So the fact that the Lincoln was out there for so long, no idea when they're coming home, not hitting ports, not getting the supplies it needed. I think that, you know, says a lot about the conflict itself.
Hmm. The Lincoln is scheduled to depart on Sunday. What can you tell us about that?
I don't know exactly what the plan is for the Lincoln. The Navy doesn't, you know, publicize its ship movements kind of famously. So
smart.
You know, there's a lot of ocean between Thailand and San Diego. So, you know, sometimes on a deployment, a normal deployment, you can maybe anticipate another stop either in Guam or Hawaii on the way home. But this is an unusual deployment, and a lot of sailors, I'm sure, just want to get home. So I don't know if those stops will happen or if they won't. But I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
Well, they have the things that the basic needs that, you know, soap, food, those things.
So
moving forward.
The operation and logistics environment is going to change as you go from 5th Fleet. Now they're in 7th Fleet. They'll be getting supplies out of Japan. It'll be much more comfortable from here on out.
All right. Well, I know you'll continue to follow this, and we'll stay with you on this coverage. I've been speaking with KPBS military and veteran affairs reporter Andrew Dyer. Andrew, thank you.
Thank you.